So today is the 3rd or 4th of June 2019, Tuesday. Last, we are now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Okay. Namo Bhansu Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansu Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansu Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Guan Siying Pusa. Namo Guan Siying Pusa. Namo Guan Siying Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagawantang abhiwademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, we can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. We will chant the vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani kapadang samadhiyami, adina dana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami, kamesu michachara viramani sikapadang samadhiyami, musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna-sarapa-dipena Dipena-tamadang-sina Tiloka-dipang-sambuddhang Pujayami-tamonudhang Ganda-sambarayutena Dupena-hang-sukang-hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Hetang kesuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kesumena nena Punnena matena ca hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata vinayena sabhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Now we have a chandi Puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. benang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Then we will have half an hour of silent meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. Relax completely, body and mind, and silence your mind. No need to do anything. Just let whatever thought process or thinking, it will settle down by itself. Then for those who still need object of meditation to stabilize your sati or mindfulness, you can also continue to develop it. For those who do anapanasati, you just have to maintain that mindfulness until it becomes very quiet, very still, until like no more movement, until the breath like become very subtle, as if there is no more breathing. Then just silence everything and maintain the awareness within. Then the mind will enter pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then you can realize your true mind, the silent mind. So from there, the meditation will become very easy. Then for those who's spiritual faculties are not established, the mental hindrance will be there. So you'll find it very difficult to calm yourself down or to develop the meditation. So what you can do is, you can use the skillful means, mind sweeping method, to just relax and maintain awareness. Just relax and feel, and let the mind settle down. It will decondition your whatever thinking, heedless thinking. So once the thinking is been deconditioned, your mind become more calm, more peaceful. So this inner peace need inner well-being to stabilize. So you can combine with metta, loving kindness, to stabilize the mind. Then you will develop inner well-being, leading to inner peace. So this inner peace and inner well-being is very useful. The inner peace means you are just aware without thought. Inner well-being is your metta, your loving kindness. When you radiate metta to your own form and mind, body and mind, all of your bodily formation and mental formation become very quiet and very peaceful. There will be well-being within all of your cells of your physical body. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. You feel the inner peace, inner well-being. Then as you rotate, your mind become more and more peaceful. That's how you develop the deconditioning of the heedless thinking, leading to the inner peace, inner well-being. Then after that, shift to anapanasati to stabilize the awareness. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our chanting invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatam Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yatidam Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anotorong Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay. We will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 469, yeah? Okay, page 469. Chapter 30. Moral responsibility. By self is one defiled. By self is one purified. Yeah? This one is from the Dhammapada verse. So here the self refer to our form and mind. There's a question. Is it the doer of the act or another who reaps its result in the succeeding birth? What do you think? We talk about karma. Let's say you committed certain evil actions or evil deeds. Then this line, no condition, so it didn't come to friction. Then let's say next life you may be born in some other rhyme or maybe human being again, then it take effect, it come to friction. So it's the doer of the act and the being that takes the next rebirth is the same one. What do you think? It's obvious, eh? It's different, isn't it? Correct or not? One is a form of mind. This time maybe you are a human being. But next time maybe you are born as a cow. Or some other beings. Definitely it's a different form of mind. So the question is, people may ask you this question. Why worry? We enjoy life first. Then the one that get into trouble is another being. Not you, correct? Not. So why do you worry? What do you think? What is your understanding as a Buddhist when people ask you this question? Anybody want to try? The mic is here. Anybody? It's so quiet. You all have to try. We already discussed before, even though it's a different form of mind, but what actually happened? You forgot that the previous Tuesday class, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature. You have your karmic nature there. You have your spiritual nature. Then what happened to you? Are you different? Your karmic nature is what? Summation of? Yun Chan, answer. Very good. Oh, Queenie, you want to answer? I thought you want to answer. Very good. Okay, good try. Let Queenie try. Push it all the way out.
I think just now you were saying. Yeah.
Push it out. Correct.
I don't think that's good because why? We have to be very careful so that when we have the next rebirth, we will be born in a better realm.
Correct.
If possible, correct. Still but human
the
being.
The question is, even as a human being, that karma ripen, let's say, got condition. Is the form and mind like this, like Queenie, and the one next line maybe not Queenie, it could be another race.
Is
it the same. Because the doer is Queenie, you understand or not? But the one that go through the effect is another being.
But so, still the karma follow you.
Correct. So how are you going to convince somebody who don't understand Buddhism? Because he is going to tell you, why worry? I commit all the nonsense, then after that, as long as this life no effect, next life somebody else, not me.
Yeah, but then if somebody else, we are, no doubt we are born in a different place or in a different...
No, it's not different. You still come back to the human realm, let's say.
Oh, okay.
But another form of mind, you know, definitely is not Queenie anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe you are a man that time.
But still the karma follows what?
Karma follow, but how you explain when people tell you, I don't suffer, what? Next guy suffer.
You cannot escape karma, I think.
I understand what are you trying to tell me as a Buddhist. Uh-huh. But if he's a non-Buddhist, how can you say you cannot escape Dhamma? He already told you it's not me, understand or not? It's another being. Another form of mind, not me. Why you worry? Is it this life, do what you like. No. I am giving you a case where this life no condition to arise. Subsequent life only the condition arise. Then how do you explain or rebuff such a deluded thinking? Understand? That is the understanding that you must have as a Buddhist. What did the Buddha say? He always referred to what? Who is subject to karma? The form of mind is subject to karma. You think this form of mind and that form of mind in the future is not connected? Yeah, it's a different one. Understand? But they are connected through what? You remember I explained the karmic nature? Summation of what? Of all the birth. Understand? That's why it's connected. Each and every form of mind that come is karmically conditioned from your karmic nature, no, not somebody else's karmic nature, no. You understand? Even though it's another form of mind, but the delusion, that consciousness, is still part of your karmic nature. You understand? That's why you cannot say somebody else suffer, understand? No? Because it is from that stream of consciousness. Although you may say it's a rebirth consciousness, but that one is from the karmic nature. It's a stream. That's why no matter how, that ignorance will condition you to suffer, because the consciousness is trapped inside the body. It may be another form of mind, but the consciousness comes from the same karmic nature. You understand? That's why it cannot run. The form of mind may not be you, but that consciousness that suffer, that goes through that delusion and suffer, that reap the result, is the same consciousness from that karmic nature. Do you understand? You have to explain it this way. Otherwise, people will counter you or rebuff you. Why you worry? Somebody else suffer, not me. Understand? So, as a Buddhist, you have to understand, we have a karmic nature. That karmic nature is unique to each and every individual. Everyone is different. Understand? But every time your form and mind come, that form and mind is connected and linked to that karmic nature. It's not a different being. Understand? But form and mind-wise, is definitely another one. You understand? Like I used to tell you, you have gone through aeons and aeons of birth and death. So many birth and death. Let's say countless, billions. Then which one is you? None of them are you, understand not? But they are all your karmic nature. Conditioned out form and mind. They are related to you. That's why this form of mind, although not me, not you, but it's related to my karmic nature. That's why it has a duty. And with the wisdom you understand, you have to do your duty. As far as the form of mind is concerned, it's subject to karma. You cannot run. It's all connected. But this form of mind, without wisdom, is deluded. It will be subject to karma. The only time it can go above and transcend is when it has the wisdom developed, or that silent mind, when you connect and it awaken. When it connect and it awaken, that awakening is the wisdom. So this wisdom will be connected to this form of mind. Because this form of mind that goes through it will understand. Then that understanding is connected to this form of mind. But the moment this form of mind disperses, or you call death, that wisdom disappears. Do you understand? You cannot carry it along. But that wisdom is inherited in the spiritual nature. That in future, when you take birth, as long as you are not connected to your true nature or your true mind, you can never inherit that wisdom. That's why you have to connect first. Then you can inherit. Then you can, to the direct seeing, awakening, you develop the understanding. Then the wisdom will come back. Yeah. That's why it's not easy to understand life. You have to understand the conditioned world and the unconditioned. You have to develop the wisdom of the unconditioned and the wisdom of the conditioned. Existential world. These two, when you have them both connected, then only you can understand life. You can understand the unreal and the real. And the real is not a being. Your eternal nature, your true nature is not a being, not an entity. Like people call God. It cannot come out and live life. Can you follow? You have to get this clear, understood. The karmic nature also cannot come out and live life, understand? It's a nature. But it can condition a form of mind for you to come to this existential world. And for all beings to come to this existential world or the conditioned world, you need a form of mind, karmically conditioned. That's the requirement. That's the prerequisite. And this one can be different one. Every life is different, but it's all connected to your karmic nature. You cannot run. The consciousness is connected. That's why you cannot say somebody else suffer. No, that delusion will take effect from the same karmic nature. It will continue. It is like you manifest through another form of mind, but that stream of consciousness is related to your karmic nature. Because of that, you cannot run. You cannot escape. Okay? So that part is very important. Hopefully you all can understand by now. That's why a lot of incident I realize when I share all this, I assume you all know when I write the summation there near the karmic nature, you all should have the understanding already that all these are connected. That's why it's a summation. The form of mind can be different. That's why we always say, this form of mind is enlightened, but it's not me, it's not you. Why? Because this is not a permanent unchanging entity, dependent originating condition arising. It can only manifest through karma, karmic conditioning. And whatever that is karmically conditioned out has the characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self nature or anatta nature. So this is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. That's why the Buddhist teaching doesn't believe in a transmigration, means reincarnation, means a permanent unchanging entity which is the soul, reincarnate into another form of mind. No such thing. That's the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. That's the reason why life is not easy to understand. So the Dhamma is unique in that sense. You need to realize both the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma. You have to penetrate them and understand them clearly. Then only you can live life. Then you can really understand life. Otherwise you cannot. Okay, we turn to 4, 6, 9. Then we continue. So the question is very simple. Is it the doer of the act or another one who reaps its result in a succeeding birth? Then we see what the book say. To say that he who sows is absolutely the same as he who reaps is one extreme. And to say that he who sows is totally different from the one who reaps is another extreme. Avoiding these two extremes, the Buddha teaches the doctrine of the middle way or middle path in terms of cause and effect, neither the same nor another. That's why they use the Pali word, na cha, so na cha, ano, writes Venerable Buddha Gosa in the Visuddhi Magga. But you have to be careful with Visuddhi Magga. Visuddhi Magga is a commentary, is not a scripture. It is not the full or true teaching of the Buddha. It's not the words of the Buddha, it's a commentary. This Venerable Buddha Gosa, his name appears the same as Buddhadasa, no, but it's a different author. This Buddha Gosa is long time ago in India. After the Buddha's passing away, he is a Hindu. He is from the Hindu religion, but the Brahmin, born of no very high birth. They call it the high birth. They call it the. They got a class system, a caste system. This one is, I think, the highest class. Then he went ahead and studied Buddhism. Then after he studied Buddhism, he wrote this book, Visuddhi Magga, means path of purification. Magga is path, Visuddhi is purification. So path of purification. And the book was so thick and got so much of the Hindu teaching actually incorporated inside. But they find it very complete, very interesting. So a lot of people accepted that book as authority, especially Burma. Burma hold on to that book like a Bible, the Burmese. Buddhism in Burma. Especially those who study the Mahasi teaching, they always refer to that book. So this is the part where you need to be careful. Because what he say may not be 100% the Buddhist teaching or the Buddha's words. Okay, I read on. The evolution of the butterfly may be cited in illustration. Its initial stages was an egg, then it turned into a caterpillar, later it developed into a, how to pronounce this? Chrysalis, and eventually into a butterfly. This process occurs in the course of one lifetime. The butterfly is neither the same as nor totally different from the caterpillar. Here also, there is a flux of life or a continuity. So Venerable Nagasena explained this point by citing the illustration of a lamp that burns throughout the night. The flame of the first watch is not identical with that of the last watch. Yet throughout the night, the light burns in dependence upon one and the same lamp. As with the flame, excuse me. As with the flame, so there is a continuity of life, each succeeding stage depending upon the preceding one. If there be no soul, can there be any moral responsibility? So this is the second question. What do you think? If there is no permanent, unchanging entity, a soul, can there be moral responsibility? Yeah, la, definitely, but what is your understanding? Before you look at the book, he answered yes. But what is your understanding? Do you need a permanent, unchanging entity like a soul to have moral responsibility? That's why the title of this book is, this chapter is Moral Responsibility. What is moral? Sila, correct. So morality is what? That moral aspect is, we talk about moral means right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. Understand? So moral is about your mental intention. Whatever mental intention you arise, the moral behind that mental intention will take effect. That's why the Buddha defined karma as what? What is the Pali word? It is? No. Moral involve mental intention, isn't it? What is the Pali word for mental intention? It's cetana that I call karma. And the Buddha defined it so clearly. And this has been repeated so many times. That's why when you have understanding, it becomes very clear. Why do I need a permanent, unchanging entity like a soul to create moral responsibility? Do you understand? As long as that form of mind, without the wisdom, with delusion, through its mental intention, it will create karma. Do you understand? That's why you don't need a soul. So the question is, the answer is obvious. That's why the book says, if there be no soul, can there be any moral responsibility? So this one, he says, yes, because there is a continuity or identity in process which is substituted by an identical personality. So what this author is trying to say, he say, if there be no soul, can there be any moral responsibility? He say, yes, you don't need a soul to have moral responsibility. But what he explained is not really correct. Because he said, there is a continuity or identity in process, which is substituted by an identical personality. No. This one is not so correct. You know why? Before you are enlightened, you are with delusion, isn't it? So your moral, mental intention is most of the time without wisdom, so there is the evil root there. So most of the time is either wholesome or unwholesome, the duality. Because without wisdom, you will get yourself entangled with the duality. But the moment this being awakened, what happened to him? His understanding is different, isn't it? You cannot say he still had the same identical personality, right? Because the same form of mind already transformed from a Putujana to an Arya. from a, they call it an enlightened being, transform into an enlightened being. So, Putujana is a lay person, whereas the enlightened being is an awakened person, a noble one. So it's very clear, this author is trying to use his own understanding, which is not so correct. Because the form and mind depend on the views, opinion, and conditioning that it is exposed to. That's why as you grew up, before you learn how to meditate, before you awaken through the meditation, you will be conditioned into whatever your, we call it the bundle of memories and conditioning. Means your views, your opinion, and the thing that you hold on to, and all your conditioning, that molds you. But the moment you awaken, all this wrong view is gone. That's why you become totally different. Your mind, with the wisdom, awaken. And when it's awakened, the form and mind is still the same, but the understanding is totally different. So, it is not what this author is trying to explain to you. You don't need a soul, you only need a form and mind. So this form and mind is not identical personality. This form and mind will evolve as it moves through existence and life. So at the point where it hasn't awakened, it is still a lay person with the delusion. But the moment it awakens, the personality is different, the character is different. He becomes a transformed being. That aspect of Buddhism, you also need to understand clearly. Can follow? Yeah? Can follow or not? Good. Then a child, for instance, becomes a man. This one is all go by logic one. You can forget about it. Like the butterfly changes stage to stage. It is not important, understand not? It's the physical form that change, like a child grew up to become a individual. Initially is a young adult, then you become older as you age, then you become an elderly person, then later on you become an old man or old lady. So all these are the various stages of decay of this physical body. So a child, for instance, become a man. The latter is neither absolutely the same as the former, since the cell has undergone a complete change, nor totally different. Being the identical stream of life, that word is more appropriate, stream of life, means that stream of consciousness. Nevertheless, the individual as man is responsible for whatever he has done in his childhood. Whether the flux die here and is reborn elsewhere or continue to exist in the same life, the essential factor is discontinuity. You see, he gave this style example, is not going to develop the understanding, because he cannot understand the karmic nature. He used the word continuity is correct, because it's part of the karmic nature. Suppose a person was A in the last birth and is B in this. With the death of A, the physical vehicle, the outward manifestation of karmic energy, is relinquished, and with the birth of B, a fresh physical vehicle arises. Despite the apparent material changes, the invisible stream of consciousness, this one is correct, citta santati, continue to flow uninterrupted by birth, because it's continuously taking rebirth. So when death consciousness occurs, rebirth consciousness continue. But that consciousness is a new consciousness, understand? It's not a soul that transmigrate or cross over. it's just one moment of thought consciousness. But that one is karmically determined or conditioned. Carrying along with all the impression received from the tributary streams of sense. So this one he is trying to link to his example. All the tributaries. Conventionally speaking, must not be responsible for the action of A, who was his predecessor. Some may object that in this case there is no memory owing to the intervening death, but its identity or memory absolutely essential in assessing moral responsibility. Strictly speaking, neither is essential. If, for instance, a person were to commit a crime and suddenly losing his memory, were to forget the incident, would he not be responsible for his act? His forgetfulness would not exempt him from responsibility for the commission of that crime. To this, some may ask, what is the use of punishing him? For he is not aware that he is being punished for that crime. Is there any justice here? Of course, there is not. If we are arbitrarily governed by a God who rewards and punishes us. Buddhists believe in just the rational law of karma that operates automatically and speaks in terms of cause and effect instead of reward and punishment. Then the notes, in the words of Bhikkhu Silacara, if a person does something in sleep, get out of bed and walk over the edge of a veranda, he will fall into the road below and in all likelihood break his arm and leg. But this will happen not as all as a punishment for sleeping or for sleepwalking, but merely as its result. And the fact that he did not remember going out on the veranda could not make the slightest difference to the result of his fall from it in the shape of broken bones. So the follower of the Buddha takes measure to see that he does not walk over veranda or other dangerous places asleep or awake, so as to avoid hurting himself or anyone who might be below and on whom he might fall onto. The fact that a person does not remember his past is no hindrance to the intelligent understanding of the working of karmic law. It is the knowledge of the inevitable of the sequence of karma in the course of one's life in samsara that helps to mold the character of a Buddhist. So this is how the author explained. But with our understanding, we don't need to explain this way. You only need to know that there is a karmic nature that condition the rebirth. Then the form and mind may be different, but it is related to that karmic nature. That stream is the same. So every being has its own karmic nature. And that karmic nature cannot change, cannot run, because it follows you. Summation of all your birth and death, and every moment of your thought process, means your cetana, your mental intention, they are all collectively summed together. And that will become your unique karmic nature. That's why that karmic nature is not easy to understand. There is a nature by itself. Like your spiritual nature is a nature by itself. It's a summation of every life you come, when you connect and you cultivate, then you inherit. Where the spiritual nature you can only inherit after you connect. Okay? So after you connect, only you can continue to evolve your spiritual nature, whatever wisdom and understanding and perfection. Then that one when you take rebirth, it's not like the karmic nature. The karmic nature, the moment you are born, like the Buddha say, you immediately inherit, understand? Because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So that one take immediate effect until you die. Actually, that one, the karmic one, is non-stop one, continuous. Yeah. So a lot of this thing that I share with you, the Dhamma, you cannot just listen like a knowledge then thinking you know. If you do it that way, you can never learn. You need to reflect, contemplate, and understand it deeply. That's why I don't need to remember. I don't need to like write notes or what. Because this understanding, when you contemplate and reflect through the first and second turning until it becomes very, very clear, then when you develop the meditative understanding, the awakening, that wisdom stay with your form and mind. You don't need to remember anything. You will understand clearly what this thing is. Naturally. And you no need to have memory of it. No need. The understanding is always there. That's why you no need to prepare yourself. Understand? Like something happened. You cannot say, "Ayo, I cannot remember." Because wisdom is like that. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. If you have, whatever happened at the moment, you will know what to do. You will know how to act. Act according to wisdom, the understanding. But if you don't have, it was straight away condition that delusion or that ignorance. That's why I say at the moment of sense experience. If you don't have initial wisdom, yoni so manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot deal with that sense experience. That's why in the early day I really told Yun Chan, because he always thought wisdom can be learned. I said, you cannot learn wisdom. Wisdom you have to awaken to. When you awaken to, after you reflect, contemplate, stabilize, or through the meditative turning, that wisdom, the moment you awaken to, you already understand, means it's always connected to your form and mind. You can never forget. You don't have to remember. That's why automatic, every moment of sense experience, you will know what to do. Because the understanding will come out and prompt you. Not real. Don't have to react and stir your mind. Don't have to fear, don't have to panic. The reality is like that. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. All this, they will prompt you. Pop. The dhamma will just surface. And you know, straight away you cannot stir. You cannot be deceived. That's why wisdom is very powerful. That is the only one that frees you. You cannot go and think and recall through memory. What did the Buddha say? What did Brother Teo say? How should I act? You're dead already, understand? But the moment of sense experience, upon contact, feeling arise, feeling condition, without wisdom, straight away craving, understand? So how to cut a feeling? Impossible, understand? Only deluded one thing that they can cut a feeling. Without the initial wisdom, you cannot do anything to it. That's why the Avijja Sutta is very clear. Without yoniso manasikara, your daily mindfulness cannot come about. Because your mind always stir and react with the ignorance. The initial wisdom is very important for your mind to stabilize so that it will not stir and react and create the duality, the reaction of mind. That's the reason why first and second turning wisdom is very important. And the Buddha always teach you how to reflect and contemplate. And all this comes from the essential Dhamma. The most important one, the Buddha say, you have to every day reflect on what? The five daily contemplation is in your vow. You have to remember that. The five daily contemplation is for you to counter the first noble truth reality, the first four. That's why the first three reflection and contemplation, the daily contemplation, is about birth, old age, sickness and death related to your body. This body of ours, our physical body of ours, is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So that you don't deludedly cling to this physical body thinking that it's you. If you cling and attach, means you suffer. Because you worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. But this is not you. These are elements. They go the way of nature. So when you reflect, contemplate, understand, this is not me. When you go through old age, sickness and death, you will not be afflicted. You will not be affected. You can accept the reality. This is just the form. Without the consciousness, it's not me. The form is element. Element goes the way of nature. That's why you need to take care, you take care. You need to seek medical advice to heal, to recover. You do that. But you don't deludedly attach, cling, and develop all the fear, the suffering, the misery, the unhappiness. So the first three contemplation is already so powerful. And the fourth one is about separation. The rest of the first noble truth is all about separation. When you cannot get what you want, it's still separation. So separation is very powerful. Separation from your loved one, your prized possession, from the thing you hold on to dearly, believing that it belongs to you. Then of course the other one is when you are with people whom you don't like. It's also not able to get what you want when your expectations in life are not met. So all this brings about suffering. Then the final summary is very important, the Buddha said. In short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition your craving to cling, to grasp, and to attach to all these five aggregate of form and mind that condition suffering. That's why he always say the five grasping aggregate upadana khandas, they are dukkha. So this first four contemplation is already so powerful, can deal with life. But the last part, the fifth one, is most powerful. The fifth one will tell you this form am I, although not you, this one is subject to karma. The Buddha said, we are all born of our karma. He's referring to our form and mind, understand now? We are born of our karma. Heir to our karma, we inherit everything. We are conditioned and supported by our karma, means the karmic nature. Then you are what you are, every moment, every instant, because of karma. So karma, the moment birth takes place, it is responsible for your life. So when you understand that karma is 100% of life, what must you do? You have to straight away take care of karma. You cannot wait. And how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Otherwise you are dead. You have to avoid all evil. Then purify your mind to develop the wisdom. So this part is very important. That apart from the five daily contemplation, the Buddha also taught the first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom. That's why you have to go through the Four Noble Truths in its three turnings. The three turning of the Four Noble Truths is the most important. When you have your daily contemplation developed, then your three turning will become very easy. Then you have to understand the essential Dhamma. The five spiritual faculties are required to understand spiritual teaching. to overcome the five mental hindrances. Without the spiritual faculty, the hindrances are there. That's why your mind cannot be in a meditative state. You cannot develop the ability to be peaceful, calm, and aware within. Because these are mental hindrances that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state, the inner peace, the inner calmness, and the inner awareness. So after you understand all these things, you will know how to meditate. Then the Avijja Sutta and all the other Sutta, you have to really go through it. That's why the 10 steps, as proclaimed by the Buddha in the Avijja Sutta, the Sutta on Avijja, how to liberate and free your mind from Avijja, ignorance, and become enlightened, is all stated there. And these 10 steps are not difficult, it's very easy. The first step you all have, because as Kayamita, you should have Dhamma friends, so you fulfill. Second step is listening to the Dhamma or true Dhamma, which you also have because you have your classes. Then you can listen to the video recording, the audio recording. It's all in the website. You can read the books, the transcript, everything. So this second one is the most important. It is from this second step, through listening, reflection, contemplation, that you develop the first and second turning wisdom. You can put the Dhamma into test, investigate into it. When it stands up to investigation, your faith becomes unshakable. That's why step three is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then as a natural consequence of second step, if you continue to listen, then contemplate, reflect, and meditate, the initial wisdom will come. Yonisomanasikara. That is the fourth step. That one is relatively easy. And if you do that, you are home. The moment you have this initial wisdom, your mind will not stir so often. Most of the time, it's at peace. Most of the time, it will be quiet. You will not stir and react like before. So this inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness will give rise to that space within your mind. We call it the space between thought. Between two thought, there is this space, clarity, and there is awareness. The space between thought means in between there is no thought. The mind is just aware. That's why there is no thought. That's why when you have more and more of this inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, the space between thought, because you have initial wisdom, yonisomanasikara, you will be able to have the daily mindfulness. That's why sati will stabilize. Then later on, sati sampajana means you have clear comprehension of all the things that you are aware of. The clear comprehension is very important. There are four. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, why you meditate, why you develop the cultivation of the Dhamma. Then clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Means you can meditate in any posture, anytime, anywhere. You cannot give excuse. Because meditation is about awareness. When you are in the state of awareness, you are in the meditative state. And the four foundation of mindfulness is very clear. You have mindfulness of four posture, leading to mindfulness of every action and every movement in the present moment, and that is the daily mindfulness. That's why with that you will understand the domain of meditation cover all spectrum. You cannot say, wait till I retire, only I cultivate. I don't have time. I still need to make more money. I still got a lot of duty and responsibility. Yes, but at the same time, you can meditate. Who say you cannot meditate? I did it in the early years. I was working as an engineer. And my job, work, job scope and my career environment, they said it's a madhouse. You put 10 engineers also not enough. And yet, I was able to do with that meditative mind and understanding. It's possible, can be done. So domain of meditation is very important. And the third clear comprehension is about suitability. Clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability of three things. He said the most important time is now. You cannot wait. The most important moment is also in the here and the now. And the most important people are the people around you, understand, that you can help, can make a difference to your life. That's why the most important people are the people whom you can be around with. It's just like an example, take for example. If people are far away from you, even your loved one, what can you do? Maybe nowadays you can do video conference call, contact him. But you can't do anything. Well, he is there and you are here. Like the most important people around us today are Kayanamita and of course some of the non-humans. So these are the only people we can develop understanding, share understanding and help. That's why they are your most important people. You can interact with them, can express your sincerity, your respect, your gratitude, your care. So whatever gentleness, pleasantness, kindness that you can arise through your virtue, through your wholesomeness of mind state, you should arise them. As long as you do not create evil roots, then you are beautiful. You are a blessing to all. Then you will see the importance of life. The present moment is the most important because this is the only reality. If you are not in the state of awareness to be aware of life from moment to moment, you are not living life. You existed through life. You are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so you never live. Where you can never be with the moment. In silent awareness to appreciate every moment of life. And it's so beautiful. The beauty and wonders of life lies within the pristine moment. That moment has all of life. The pristine beauty and wonders, they are all within that moment. It's just like the Zen saying, having a cup of tea is Zen, meditation. And really, if you can do it without your thought creating all the fear, worry, existence, and the anxiety and the recollection of negative memory. So, without thought, then you just aware and drink that cup of tea. The taste, everything is so pristine, understand? Because you are fully aware of that movement, that taste, that process. You got no thought. No thought means what? When you don't think, means what? There is peace, isn't it? Inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness. No thought means nothing to worry. True or not? You only worry when you create wrong thought, isn't it? No thought means no fear. No anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. You are so beautiful. Why can't you see that? That's why the moment you are aware, without thought, you are so beautiful. And that is life. But you go and create thought and worry about life. That is what living being is doing. That is what most human beings are doing. And that is really delusion, foolishness. Why do you create thought to worry? To have so-called problem in inverted comma. Thought is for you to use. What are the thought that you need to have? You're supposed to arise. What type of thought? wholesome and right thought, understand? Free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happened? Happiness will follow you. Dhammapada was two. Cannot remember. Like the shadow that never leaves you. And this is what life is all about. So easy to choose. Choose to be happy, follow Dhammapada was two. Is it that difficult? Be heedful. And determined to train yourself with the four right effort. Then, you are incapable of evil. We are the first two right effort were root of all the evil roots. The unwholesome thought, speech and action. So when you are heedful, then you can act, speak and think with a pure thought. Wholesome thought, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then you are always happy. Happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. And this is what life is all about. Instead of every time through wrong thought, create all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and your evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, selfishness, covetousness. So all these are negative, evil root, make you evil. And these come from delusion, self-delusion. And that three evil roots create a lot of evil things. That's why it's the root of all evil. It makes you evil. So you need to have this understanding of what constitutes evil, and with the mindfulness, you need to arise the four right effort to root them out. Then through the mindfulness, see clearly this evil root. They are the root of all evil. So the moment you understand, you're aware of them, they cannot arise. Because they have tormented you, tortured you, and caused you enough suffering. Like those who went through depression. They will say, enough. You have done enough damage to me for the past how many years, they will remember. Then straight away, that wrong thought will cease. That's how you cultivate, without mindfulness, without awareness, without understanding of what constitutes evil, what constitutes wholesome thought, wholesome speech, wholesome action. That's why without the cultivation of the four right effort, through mindfulness and heedfulness, you cannot free your mind. You cannot develop the initial wisdom. Okay? So far, clear that? Because you have to go back and reflect. You cannot just come to class, after that, go back, forget about it, then go back to your usual way, happy-go-lucky. Then here, get into trouble, get there, get into trouble, repeat all your old mistake, the heedless way of living. Then you go back to square one again. If you do that, you will not progress. You will not learn the Dhamma. The Dhamma need to be developed through a very, very strong mind that has the faith, that condition, the virya. Then the virya is the one that drives you, the passion, the understanding. And that one will move you. That's why you will go all out to cultivate the daily mindfulness. And before the daily mindfulness, as Kayanamita, you already fulfill the first three steps. The second step is very important. Second step leading to the third and fourth step is very important. The moment you clear the fourth step, yoniso manasikara, initial wisdom, the daily mindfulness will come automatic. And when that one comes, the heedful never die. You are assured of enlightenment. That's why step 4 and 5 is very simple, not difficult. Work on it. Then you are home. Then after that, you have sense restraint. Because your daily mindfulness will enable you to have that type of mind that is so mindful, so aware and sensitive. That's why this subtle greed, subtle evil root, all cannot arise. They cannot arise at all. Because of your mindfulness, then you also understand what constitutes evil. Just like the moment they arise, you are aware. And that sensitivity of mind, the moment it has the sensitivity, it will have the power to seize it. But the moment you feel it, you can never allow it to move anymore. But these are all stress, wrong thought, evil roots, not conducive for life. With that, your sense restraint is always there. When the sense restraint is there, you cannot break precept. That's why the three way of right conduct will be there. And this is step 7 really. After step 7, you are home. The four foundation of mindfulness. It becomes very easy because your daily mindfulness is already developed. Then the 7 factor of enlightenment keep on arising. That is step 9. Then step 10 is automatic. Because when the factors of enlightenment arise, means you are on the right path. You are destined for enlightenment. Because without factor of enlightenment, you cannot become enlightened. You cannot awaken. So these are all very, very clear. So if you have been paying attention, listening to the Dhamma sharing and also the recording and the transcript and the short note, by now your understanding should be very, very clear. And you only need to go all out to cultivate. And it's not difficult, it's very easy. Because the sasana is there, the consciousness is there, the conditions are there. And you have that parami, as kayamita, that kayamita force is very strong. Yeah. It can bring forth the causes and conditions for all kayamita to awaken. That's why last time I remember the video of the mother duck and the duckling. So finally, all the ducklings climb above. Even the last duckling just came up. And that is what is really possible. All kayamita were clear. Especially during this window of Buddha sasana. Sainthood is very easy. Comparatively very easy. Then the Bodhisattva way also is not that difficult, except it may take longer period. But it's a natural consequence of what you do. And all these are interrelated, connected. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, we still got 25 minutes. Okay, you got any question or not? Do you have any question? Or anybody wants to share whatever you understand? Wait, use the mic.
You're suggesting redo a reflection?
When you listen to the Dhamma, you must listen attentively, understand or not? You have to listen attentively so that it will go in. The understanding will sink in. You don't just like knowledge, you know. The moment you listen like knowledge, oh, you think you know. In that way, you never learn. Because the Avijja Sutta is very clear. Listening to the Dhamma. Listening means what? First turning wisdom. Understand? Then after you listen, you go back, you reflect, you contemplate, you inquire, then write notes. Close the book without looking at the notes and the book. If you can answer them and write them out, means you only start to develop the understanding. But that is a very big step. The moment you can write it out, what constitutes evil one by one, then the first right effort is what? Second right effort is what? Then the 5 daily contemplation. You can write them out with understanding, no, not as a parrot repeating the Dhamma, no. means you really understand what the Buddha want you to understand. Then that wisdom become different now. Because when you reflect and contemplate and inquire, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand all this? Then it will go in. Then it become very stable. Means you start to, like they say, assimilate all this understanding that the Buddha has explained or spoken or proclaimed. So first turning is when you listen, you may not have the past cultivation to help you to awaken. Never mind. Then you reflect on it, contemplate on it. Means you really inquire and investigate into it. Then as you do that, you start to actually stabilize the understanding. You know what is the meaning of stabilize the understanding. But you don't reflect and contemplate and go through life example, means you relate to your experiences in life, you cannot see the Dhamma one. You must relate to life, then you will see the Dhamma. Then when you understand, means it has stabilized. It's like birth is suffering. How do you reflect and contemplate? You have to reflect the birth process, isn't it? You may not be a mother, you may not have given birth before, but you have heard people, you have seen people given birth, and you have experienced what suffering is as a human being. Then nowadays with the internet, Google, you can even Google. And how the process of birth leads to suffering. All this can be very clear. Then old age, sickness and death. When you have disease, sickness, you reflect, you contemplate, and you silence your mind and feel, isn't it suffering? Take for example simple sickness, when you have flu, when you have fever, you peaceful or not? You happy or not? You miserable, dengue worse, understand? Then when you have that type of fever, or that type of what they call as you age, rheumatism, and your whatever nerve function reflex action, or they are starting to slow down or deteriorate, then some of your vein, or some of your, like Vincent Vernon, he is treating a lot of people. Your back ache, your whatever ache, everywhere ache. Then you need to be wallop or whack. That is to pay back karma, understand? It's better to take it this way and in the meditation rather than in the accident and lie down in the ICU, understand? So a lot of these things, when you reflect and contemplate, you start to develop deep understanding of the teaching. It's related to life. Life itself is the Dhamma. What is Dhamma? Dhamma is about the reality, the truth. All of nature's law is Dhamma. So when you understand Dhamma, you understand life. You understand who you are, what you are, and you understand the teaching. What suffering is. And when you understand, you cannot be deceived, deluded by the phenomenal world, by the conditioned world. So coming back to your question, Yun Chan, just now you used the word what? Reflect is correct. But you must go into it deep so that you understand. So your actual question is what? What is your actual question?
I find that if something not too good happened, then you can sit down and reflect, oh, okay. You can see it related to Dharma. And the question was, do we reflect on our activities at the end of the day and then see?
You see, the danger in the way you ask that question is, you are using your thought, understand? But your thought is asking all those questions. When we talk about reflection and contemplation, means you have that saddha and virya to drive you to cultivate, to develop this understanding. Okay? So the next spiritual faculty is what? Sati. If you don't develop sati, you will always go to your thought. Understand or not, Yin Chan? That's why sati is very important. Without sati, you cannot reflect and contemplate. Well, when you reflect and contemplate, you must be in the state of silent awareness when you are most creative. Means you are not having problem. You are not thinking. You are not using thought. There is very little thought involved. That is the real one. Otherwise, it's like the way you question. When must we reflect? When we have a problem. Or when we want to develop certain understanding. It's not when you must reflect. Reflection and contemplation is the moment you listen. After that, if you cannot understand, you have to go back and do it. And it has to be done until you understand. Then only the initial wisdom come in. Then only the faith come in. You cannot wait until you got problem. Then you reflect. That is not effective. The most effective is when you understand the teaching, then you know how to meditate, when you know how to train your mind to develop the sati until it's very stable. Then you reflect and contemplate. It becomes very, very powerful. Without sati, you are most of the time using thought, rationalizing, trying to develop the Dhamma knowledge. That one will not help much. You may have more knowledge, but it will not give you that type of second turning wisdom, born of reflection and contemplation and inquiry. Means I must ask, why did the Buddha say that this noble truth of suffering is to be understood? Then the second inquiry is, how can I understand it? Then you go into all the first noble truth reality until the last one, then you realize the five aggregate of form and mind is most important. Because the final summary is there. Then you have to ask, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand the five aggregate of form and mind? Why did he say, in short, it is due to my self-delusion that conditioned me to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that conditions suffering, the upadana khandas. So first, I must understand what is the five aggregate. Otherwise, how can I put to test? How can I know that I develop attachment to the five aggregate? So the five aggregate, the two aspects, you must understand it clearly. Then you check one by one. If I attach to the physical form, do I suffer? If I attach to external form, do I suffer? If I attach to my feeling, do I suffer? If I attach to everything I perceive in life, do I suffer? You have to do that. Just like the four right effort, you have to do it one by one. And it's a big topic, I tell you. It's not come to class, go back to your daily routine again and forget about the Dhamma. Like that, you never learn. When I was doing it in 86 to 89, I throughout the day I cultivate. Every moment, every instant, I mindful, aware, I reflect. Even as I walk in the house or walk to the office, every moment is with the Dhamma, awareness, everything. And when I sit in the office, fully aware. You have to do it. The continuity of mindfulness is very important. Without that, you cannot see. Without that, you are using thought most of the time. You can ask at the Lin Deo, what did they develop before the understanding come? You ask Song Deo. It's the mindfulness. That's why before she went for retreat, she told you all. She determined to be mindful and she went with you to Rayong and the mindfulness came. That's why a lot of these people progress is because of mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot. There is no way. So mindfulness is very important. You have to determine to be aware. So when that one comes, the rest will come. Yeah. Then when you listen attentively with awareness. It's different from the thought moving. That's why the art of listening is what? Not with your views, opinion and conditioning inside there, keep on asking questions and reacting. Listen means listen. The thought don't interfere. Fully aware. Listen. Then reflect on them. Then the understanding will come. It's just like you start from zero base. Clean slate. I don't know anything. Then I listen. If there is any truth, if there is any understanding, it will arise. If it's not the truth, not the understanding, it will not accord with nature's condition. You can see it very clearly. That's why the art of listening is very important. It's not a question of right or wrong. Accept or don't accept. No. When I listen, I listen. I give that speaker a chance. Then if what is being spoken is not the truth, it will not stand up to investigation. It will not match a lot of things. Then you understand, this person doesn't have the truth. Then you will not continue. But if I hear somebody who has the truth, I will listen. Then I will know, this person has the truth. Yeah. Then if somebody has higher wisdom than my nature, the moment he speaks, I will know. With that type of understanding, I have not gone into it. That's why some of the teacher later, which I met on, the thing that they share with me is so different. And the moment they share, I knew they have gone through that type of consciousness. But my nature can pick up very fast. And the moment I pick up, I move very fast. So all this is part and parcel of Dhamma training, the cultivation. When you have the Sada Virya, the passion, you will move. Yeah. And this one is a full-time job. No? Full-time job means it doesn't mean you have to retire from your job. No. Full-time job means continuous cultivation. Means whether you are working or as a housewife doing your daily chores or as an individual performing your duty or what, you can still be mindful, aware. And this is what cultivation is all about. Domain of meditation. Every moment, every instant, anywhere, any place, you can be in the state of awareness. Meditative awareness. Okay? So basically, that is what the cultivation is all about. It is not just knowledge. You have to go deep into it. Yeah. Then after you try, if you're not sure, you can ask. Then you will ask different type of question. Because you, after have gone into the reflection, contemplation, the question you ask is different. Then those who go further, they will ask different question again. Because things that they can now see is so different from last time. Last time, before that initial wisdom come out, a lot of things they cannot see, they cannot understand. Because Dhamma cultivation is very funny. You know? Before you reach this understanding, whatever understanding beyond that, you cannot understand. Cannot. It's just like Dhamma Tao, they say. You able to, let's say, a glimpse of understanding or slight awakening. It's like the Dhamma door open now. Then you go in, you can see all the Dhamma inside there. Because that door has been opened. But before you can open that door, you don't have that sati or awareness or that understanding to understand beyond that. So after that Dhamma door open, you go in, you can understand the rest very fast. That's why I told Song they all last time, after they connect, technically you don't need a teacher. Technically, the word is technically. If you have a teacher who can guide you, you move faster, understand? Otherwise, they themselves will understand. But the moment you connect, that understanding for that path you already have. Like path and friction. The moment you enter the path, you actually have the understanding already. But that understanding is not stable. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate until you're very stable. And then you realize friction. Friction means that understanding has stabilized until you can share them. You can express them. Otherwise, people ask you, the Dhamma, you cannot use the word to explain yet. Because it's not stable yet. But when he encounters a situation, he will know what to do. That is the wisdom. Yeah. But once it's stabilized, means you realize the friction. Means the understanding is with you. You can express it out. You can explain this. Yeah. So that is the difference. And that is most important. No need memory. When you awaken, you understand. It's just that nature understand. You just understand. That's why when you reflect and contemplate, when you go through it, the understanding is there. And if you want to know whether the understanding is there or not, wait till you have problem. Yeah. Then straight away the wisdom will prompt you one. Understand? Let you know how to act one. Not after you get into trouble, then only you reflect and think and apply the Dhamma. That one is still, unless it's habitual tendency that come back, then immediately they understand. Then they know. This one is habitual tendency. Never mind. But they have already understood. Otherwise, people hit already, kena already. Then come back. Ah, you stupid. I should have done that. I should have got angrier. That one is not the real mindfulness. The real mindfulness, that moment that things stir, you are aware that this moment is inside that. That is what sati is all about. Then when you understand it's inside there, it's an evil root, it cannot come out. Then you will know how to act. Not until you get into trouble, then you call that reflection, contemplation. That one is recollection. Not reflection. You recollect. You recall what happened. Then you try to use your Dhamma knowledge to rationalize. Then you say, next time I must act like that. I must act like that. In this way, you can never liberate your mind. It's not the knowledge. It's not next time I must do what. It's when I understand, this understanding need to be stabilized. When it's stabilized, when I face a situation, maybe the same sense experience or similar one, straight away this understanding will prompt me. It will come out. I don't have to recall through memory. That is the real one. Yeah. Immediately something happened, the understanding will come out. That is yoniso manasikara, wisdom. It will prompt you. You don't have to go and recall. Recall means Dhamma knowledge. Theoretical Dhamma. Not the real one. That's why when you are in the midst of life, all this wisdom will come out. And you will know how to act. And you act according to wisdom, not according to memory. The memory is all your fear, worry, anxiety, your phobia. Then when you rely on memory, you know what you will do or not. Your thought will tell you, hey, what did Brother Teo say? What did the Buddha say? Wow, Brother Teo say last time like that, I must act like that. You should. Dead dark, I tell you, you do that. But that is from the thought. It's not your understanding. Understanding spontaneous. Doesn't go through the memory. You need to search the memory, means something wrong already. It's Dhamma knowledge already. You need to remember things. Even the five daily contemplation. After you contemplate, you understand it's stabilized, it will come out and prompt you. Body goes the way of nature. Finish. Four elements, no knowing, cannot be me. Straight away you understand. Then rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Finish. The understanding free your mind straight away. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu. So, with this understanding, slowly you will have the clear picture of the overall. Then when you cultivate, you become different. Because I realize nowadays the sharing is like moving into a very different condition already. Last time I realized that you all have a lot of problem understanding all the bits and pieces of the teaching, the essential Dhamma. Then now, everything has been like slowly summarized. Then the whole teaching is inside one sharing. And now the whole teaching like a revision inside there many times. So you must have that understanding that this is not repeating. This one is for those who really cannot really see it yet. If you see it, you will not go through all these things. Because initially I thought everybody like me, you only need the Dhamma. The moment you understand, you will go all out and do it. Because my nature was like that. The moment I understand truth, I straight away go all out and I develop it very fast. But I realized, no. Because the Dhamma alone cannot work for you. Because a lot of you all, the basic Dhamma also not there. Understand? That's why I got to go back to the essential Dhamma. Start like kindergarten again. The Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, keep on repeating. And then connect all the pieces for you. Then after connect already, still have to repeat the first turning, second turning, third turning, then Pariyati, Patipati, Pativeda. The first phase of Dhamma, second phase. Then all these are like slowly, they say what? Hand carry you. That word is very cruel. It's like they say they want to teach you something. They say they carry you along. What is the word? There's an English word. I think. No, not scared for that. No. Spoon feeding is a very crude one. Yeah, that one you give the full meaning. Everything must spoon. But this one is hand carry you. Hand holding. It's like, I hand hold you. That means guide you along, take you along. So you are not spoon feed yet. You still got your hand. Hand holding. Yeah, I think relative is correct. So you need to move on your own, understand? No? You don't be like certain race, need the crunches. Cannot. Everything also, special privilege and all those things. You need all this, you will never learn. You will learn very slow. You need to be pushed, understand? Push means what? Stand alone. Stand alone means don't depend on anybody. But of course, teachers are useful. I also acknowledge, without the guide, without the teacher, you learn so slow, so much slower. But with them, they know. What are the things that you need to move? That's why all this is what teachers are for. They guide you. That's why sometimes I prefer to use the word, they are your guide. They guide you. Like tourist guide, very good, You have tourist guide, what do they do? You don't understand whatever question you can ask. Then they will take the trouble to explain to you. Understand? Then you still don't understand, they take you there. But this one, I cannot take you there. This one, you have to do it yourself. I can only show you the way. Teach you the principle behind. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to awaken yourself. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit. Then you can make your aspiration. Aka sata ce pumata devanaga mahindika penyantang anumoditwa sirang rakantu lokasasana itawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbai Deva Amnodantu Sabbasampati Siddhya Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Devo Satukalena Sasa sampati heto cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones, then we end.